Hello, Malcolm here. Thanks for joining me today again on Tuesday Teaching Tips. This is episode number 168. And today we're talking about how to use self-deprecating humor. Self-deprecating humor, one of the most valuable tools in any speaker's toolbox, and is particularly helpful in preaching and teaching, such that we then don't come across as the know-it-alls and I've got it all figured out and I need to tell everything to you so that you mere mortals can also share and bask in some of the glory that I have. Self-deprecating humor is a way of helping the people listening to us not only understand that we're all on the same level, but that we ourselves believe that we're all on the same level. Self-deprecating humor. How do you feel about using it? Are you good at it? Something to think about, and we're going to talk a bit about this today, because when used effectively, it has great potential to help us to get our points across effectively. But when used poorly, well, it can be a tremendous distraction, and we want to avoid that. Therefore, I'd like you to bring you a few tips today about how to use self-deprecating humor and to use the example of a master of this genre, perhaps the best, one of the best I know at this, my old friend Tony Heath. Now, Tony Heath is down in the Thames Valley Church, and those of us who know him and have heard him preach know exactly what to expect when Tony preaches. You'll get two things. You'll always get two things. You'll get more than two, but you'll always get two things. You'll get truth and you'll get honesty. You'll get a self-deprecating style of preaching and teaching, which is endearing and human. His preaching is very human and full of truth. And he demonstrated this again this last Sunday in his most recent sermon. And that's why I want to bring this to you, because as I watched Tony and listened to him, it helped me to take in his points, the truth that he was teaching me. And I thought I must share this with my audience. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to play you a clip from his section about being able to teach and able to learn from Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. His sermon was called Spiritual Maturity. It was based on the latter part of chapter 5 of Hebrews and the first part of chapter 6. And one of his sub-points within the spiritual maturity point was about being able to teach and able to learn. And he talks about what happened when he went to play badminton. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play this clip. You can watch it or listen to it. And then afterwards, I've got a few tips for us. So let's play the clip, listen, and see what you make of his use of self-deprecating humor. Here's the clip.
That's my badminton racket. Okay, so about a couple of months, Karen's been playing badminton with a group of people for about 2 years. After 2 years, I finally rearranged my working circumstances so I could kind of join Karen to play badminton every Monday night. I was really excited about playing badminton, till I got there. Karen plays badminton with some people who are friends, now my friends as well, hopefully. But you know, most of them are 7, 65, probably to around 80. Every one of them can totally thrash me. It was just, you know, you start out feeling good about yourself, but after a while you find yourself swishing around in the air, then looking at the shuttlecock lying on the floor next to you. You just don't know how come they always know where you're going to stand and they hit it the other way. Or they hit it at you very hard and you build up this resentment. At first that was all right, but after a while, I also realised we play doubles, and I felt like nobody wants to play with me because I always lose. I even got to the point when I was at work on Monday night, and things got a little tricky at work. I thought, maybe I'll just skip badminton. I'm too busy at work, you know what I mean? I realised that I needed somebody to help me play badminton. You couldn't just show up and get it right. You know, and I'm slow to learn.
Well, there you have it. There's Tony, the master of self-deprecating humor. What did you make of it? What did you get out of it? What did you find valuable and useful watching his example. But let me draw out three particular points that I think that he did well and that are vital to the good use of self-deprecating humor. And then I'd like to know what else you think might be valuable. So the first thing is that good use of self-deprecating humor means it's emotionally engaging, but it's not overwhelming. It's emotionally engaging. It connects with our own emotions, but it's not overwhelming. Tony helped us to understand how he felt in the situation when he was there playing badminton. We were able to feel his embarrassment sort of alongside him and relate to it ourselves. We've been in similarly embarrassing situations in the past. I'm sure I certainly have, and I expect you have too. So he came alongside us and we came alongside him because of that emotional connection. That was very important and very helpful. His feelings were real and they were reasonably strong. They weren't minor, shallow feelings. They were quite strong, but they were not overwhelming. In other words, they didn't make us feel so sorry for him that then we stopped listening to his point and instead were feeling sorry for him, feeling something so strong that we weren't able to then listen. And that's one of those subtle but very important dividing lines between helpful illustrations and unhelpful, helpful personal sharing and unhelpful personal sharing, and helpful self-deprecating humor and less helpful, in that we want it to be emotionally engaging. It's got to be strong enough for that, but not so much that we, again, feel sorry for the person sharing. That's not helpful. So that's the first thing we see, emotionally engaging but not overwhelming. The second thing is that what he did is he shared something, a story, that was meaningful but not too long. Meaningful but not too long. It's not particularly helpful to say something like, oh, I'm a very disorganized person, or I'm a very forgetful person. These statements aren't particularly helpful. So they need to be set, if they're true and they're helpful to the point, and they need to be set within a story like Tony does here. But the story's not too long. If it's too long and too detailed, we begin to lose the point that he's going to make. But it has to be long enough to where we can engage with what he's talking about and go with him on his journey into playing badminton and how it felt. So I liked the way that Tony made it meaningful, long enough to be meaningful, but not too long. I think it was just about the right length. And the third thing that Tony does is he does a really good job of using this story, this self-deprecating humor, tying it closely to his point about being able to learn, able to teach. It fits the point. He's not just got a great story from his life and is shoehorning it in to his point because he likes the story and he knows it might make us laugh and we might like him or something like that. Instead, no, it very much fits his point. And I think that's also so important. Sometimes something happens to us and we just want to tell people and share it, but it doesn't actually help make the point. In fact, it then becomes a distraction from the point instead of supporting the point, shedding light on the point, driving the point home, which is the point of self-deprecating humor. So three things he does well. It's emotionally engaging, but not overwhelming. It's meaningful, but not too long. And it is closely tied to the point he's making. So that's Tony's example right there. I would love to know what you think about Tony's, the example I'm giving you here, what you've seen or heard from watching or listening to Tony, and my three takeaways from what he did. What have you seen done well with the use of self-deprecating humor? Or perhaps what have you seen done badly? What tips would you have for someone who wants to use self-deprecating humor well? I'd love to know. So please leave a comment. Leave it in the comment box beneath the video or beneath the podcast if you're listening to the audio. Leave it publicly so that we can learn from each other, because we do learn best when we're learning in community. If you've got a friend who you think might benefit from this, then hit that share button, hit that like button, hit that click the link and send it on, copy it, send it on to somebody, and let's spread the word. And if you can leave a review, that would be very much appreciated. Thank you very much. And I do hope that until the next time, you have a wonderful week and a terrific Tuesday. Take care and God bless.